this week marks 50 years of NAIDOC, a one-day protest that evolved into a week-long celebration and recognising the history, culture and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. It's an opportunity for all Australians to learn about First Nations histories, connect with their local communities and celebrate the oldest continuous living culture on Earth. And at the heart of all of this is truth-telling. Sharing the stories of Indigenous people, recording survivors' experiences of violence and injustice, and looking back at the moments that have shaped our collective history. So when you're shaping the minds of the next generation, how do you bring that vast, complicated history into the here and now? Well, you're about to hear from two passionate teachers who are building the resources to bring truth-telling into the classroom. But I'd also love to hear your experiences with this. How did you learn about your own history or the stories of the country you live on? How do you pass that knowledge on? With me are Dr. Justin Wilkie and Dr. Jess Gannaway, both from the University of Melbourne. Justin is a Ngunyari man and lecturer in Indigenous education. Jess is a non-Indigenous teacher, educator and researcher. They're currently on a joint fellowship with Winston Churchill Trust, researching truth-telling in classrooms across Canada and South Africa. Justin, I might start with you. Where are you right now?
Thank you. Yes, happy NAIDOC week. We are currently in Toronto. We've been here in Canada for the last month, moving across the country, learning about how truth-telling practices are happening here.
I'm so excited to hear about what you've been discovering, but can we just start with a bit of a definition? What does truth-telling in the classroom mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I think truth-telling in the classroom really involves all educators taking on the responsibility to acknowledge and teach accurate and sometimes uncomfortable truths about Australia's shared history. Because truth-telling introduces and shares Indigenous perspectives about Australia's violent and colonial past that sometimes have been buried in our national curriculum. But I think it's important also to mention that truth-telling moves beyond just the stories of trauma, and we've talked to people so far about including positive and strength-based stories of knowledge sharing that also fit into that truth-telling practice.
Was this truth-telling something that you had access to when you were growing up?
No. To be quite blunt, I mean, growing up as an Aboriginal young person, going through primary and secondary school, I felt like only half of my identity and culture was being shared in my teaching and learning. And my Indigenous learnings came from my family and community, and that wasn't necessarily reflected in my education. And that's what spurred me on really to become a teacher and now into the university where Jess and myself are aiming to teach teachers about the importance of embedding Indigenous knowledge across all curriculum areas.
Yeah, Jess, what does it look like in Australian classrooms at the moment?
Yeah, great question. I immediately think of the work of Reconciliation Australia and Narragunna Wally. They do a brilliant job of showcasing some of the innovative ways that teachers are crafting really local approaches to truth-telling. You know, teachers are passionately going out and learning their local histories and bringing students with them into a deeper understanding of the place where they live. So we've got some really glowing beacons there that we can learn from. But we also hear that there's a lot of uncertainty about how to practice this, across all subject areas and age groups. And sometimes there's an assumption that this is a form of learning that's only for Indigenous students, whereas, you know, if I don't have an Indigenous student in my classroom, then it's not relevant. Justin and I would argue that it's just as important, if not more important, for all students, non-Indigenous students too, to come to an understanding of the histories of the lands that we live on, the experiences of Indigenous peoples on those lands that we share. So sometimes in an already crowded curriculum, sometimes we end up reaching for, as Justin said, just the trauma stories, and we don't extend that into the full story of Indigenous resistance and advocacy and activism. Sometimes we stay away from the traumatic stories whatsoever for fear of re-traumatizing our students. Sometimes we leave this kind of teaching up to the history classroom, you know, without giving full recognition to this as an ongoing story. So I guess the work that we do is really giving voice to the fact that this is a complex type of learning. You know, it's a complex type of knowledge. It involves knowing your students, knowing your local histories and communities, crafting your teaching in response to that. It's a form of teaching that's not currently as structurally supported as it needs to be. So, we really salute the teachers and schools and centres who are committed to doing this complex work regardless.
So Jess and Dustin, you guys are pretty much evidence of the fact that we do have expertise on this in Australia. Why the trip to Canada and South Africa? What are you hoping to learn there?
Yeah, great question.
The fellowship opportunity.
Go, Jess.
Yeah, so the opportunity is to learn from international experiences. So here in Canada, they had the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in 2015. So it's been 11 years now. And obviously in Australia with the Europe Justice Commission just wrapping up and handing down the recommendations, it's an opportunity for us to learn in other colonised countries what work is happening on the ground. And as educators, we really want to dig into how that's impacting on teachers in the classroom and the impacts that that is then having on families and young people, but also how universities and their teaching programs are navigating embedding this type of work in their practice and then how that's operationalized in schools.
Jess, can you talk to me about the importance of this as a joint fellowship, bringing both Indigenous and non-Indigenous teachers together?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and I think Justin said it already, that truth-telling is everyone's business. We know that it needs to be Indigenous-led. We know that it involves listening to Indigenous voices and experiences, but it also needs hands-on involvement from all educators, you know, in order for all Australian students to come to know the full picture of the country that we live in. So, yeah, the joint fellowship is built around that notion of shared responsibility. By nature of living on the lands that we live on, we have a role to play in ensuring that all Australian students learn a fuller picture of our shared history and how our society has come to be as it is.
You are listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm chatting with Dr. Jess Gannaway and Dr. Justin Wilkie. They're both from the University of Melbourne, currently in Canada, studying how different colonised countries embrace truth-telling in classrooms. And I'm interested to know how you learned about Indigenous history and culture when you were at school. I'd love to know how you learned about your own history. Are you someone who's passing that knowledge on now? What does that look like for you? 0418-226-576 is my number. One person says, I'm absolutely all for First Nations truth-telling in the classroom for my son. However, I know several parents who are good people that do not want this kind of curriculum in the classroom. This person's asking, how do we deal with that? Justin, we are in a divided moment. How are teachers navigating this?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it aligns with the current political climate as well. The reality is that, walking this journey together highlights Australia's true shared history. And this, as I mentioned, has been something that hasn't necessarily been shared previously. From an Indigenous perspective, it's not about removing opportunities or privilege, but it is about sharing the true shared history of the country. So in order for us to move forward, in order for us to understand how things have come to be the way they are now for our Indigenous populations, then truth-telling practice, as Jess mentioned, and we've talked about a lot and we've heard here a lot, is everybody's business. It isn't something that was shared through my learning at school. And I think that really, the way for me it reflects now is having friends of mine who have school-age children ring me and say, why didn't we know about this when we were going through school? Because it does change people's perspectives. And I think it probably looks into, people's anxiousness around not knowing. I'd be interested to hear what your callers or texters think in regards to what they did and didn't understand when they were going through school.
especially if you have kids at school now and you can contrast what you learnt from what you're hearing them talking about when they get home. I'm so curious to hear what it's been like on the ground in your travels. Jess, what has the role of place played in truth-telling in the communities you've been visiting?
Yeah, absolutely. Place plays such a strong role. And in Canada, just like in parts of Australia too, learning from the land, learning from country is a really strengths-based way of doing truth-telling work. So I'm thinking of a beautiful place we visited called Wanuskewin. It's a beautiful Indigenous heritage park outside of Saskatoon. There were groups of students, abundant students everywhere while we were there, and they are able to learn a really deep history of the land, you know, before and after colonization. Too. There's actually a plaque on the wall that says the violence of colonialism is a very brief part of our history, but here's all of it, you know, before colonialism and after. I'm also thinking of, you know, a grade five powwow that we were really fortunate to be invited to in Kamloops. And, you know, for anyone that hasn't heard of Kamloops, it's a place where there's been a lot of attention in recent years because there are suspected unmarked graves that were uncovered there in about 2015. So we were there for a powwow. So we were sitting in a powwow arbor and we were watching young ones in regalia doing ceremonial dances and practicing their culture, and their non-Indigenous schoolmates were joining them to, you know, be part of these dances and celebrations. But from where we were sitting, we could still see the residential school up on the hill. It was within view. And so that was really poignant to us to be in a site of deep historical harm and trauma, but also be witnessing this kind of joy and reclamation. And I think that sums up, you know, the kind of education that we want all Australian students to have. We were also part of a treaty education day. Treaty education is a big part of education in Manitoba. It's mandated that all school staff go through this training. And so part of that day was learning some difficult parts of the very local history of this school district. But then the second half of the day, and this might sound a bit odd, but we spent time out on the land at two different cemeteries, so a settler cemetery and a Dakota cemetery. And folks had time to just explore and research and come to know a different part of the town that many of us had not visited. And the feedback at the end of that day was that each person was really moved by thinking about the different ways that we remember those that have passed on, but also a deeper sense of connection and belonging to the places that many folks had lived for 20 years. And that was the effect of kind of learning that deeper history of the place that we were on. So there's a lot to be gained, I think, from having these brave conversations together.
Justin, what's been standing out to you?
Oh, I think just the honesty and the ability of people to share, you know, in some cases, what are traumatic stories in ways that share hope. And, you know, we, as Jess mentioned about Kamloops, but, you know, we've spent time with elders across the country and knowledge keepers. And, you know, talking about age-appropriate resources and teaching and learning in ways that supports you know, developmental learning, and you know, what I guess what I found quite striking is how places of intense trauma, like the residential school system that they had here in Canada, where they removed Indigenous children and put them in schooling, essentially severing ties with their families, and how those places have been reclaimed now in many ways as learning opportunities and places of healing. And we went and visited the National Residential Schools Museum, and sitting with one of the elders and knowledge keepers there, really struck by the ways in which he talked about these places of trauma that he himself had been a student at, becoming a place of repair. And, you know, one of the quotes, you know, that he talked about was, the narrative of suffering must be told in our teachings, but the real story is about privileging the strength and resilience of our people. And I think those sorts of insights have highlighted to us, although there are differences between countries, there's a lot of similarities in how truth-telling can support a more inclusive understanding in our context, in Australia, of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories and people, and highlight the fact that it's not just something that's Indigenous culture and Indigenous culture is not just history, but it is today and it's also for the future. And if we look at it from the perspective of our teaching and our schools, the reality is that we need sort of everybody to be involved in this practice. And Indigenous educators, school teachers in Australia hover around about 1% of the total teaching population. So that gives you an insight into how important this work is, that everybody takes it up, and it is the national identity. And we do have a shared history, and reckoning with that and understanding that then lays the groundwork to be able to move forward.
Well, Justin, Jess, thank you both so much. Dr. Justin Wilkie is a Ngunyawuri man and lecturer in Indigenous education at the University of Melbourne. Dr. Jess Gannaway, a non-Indigenous teacher, educator and researcher, also at Uni Melb, currently on a joint fellowship with the Winston Churchill Trust, researching truth-telling in classrooms across Canada and South Africa to co-develop guiding principles for Australian teachers. Justin asked before what your education was like around Indigenous knowledge when you were at school. You've texted me. Kim says, I cringe when I think of what we were taught in the 60s. Painted a picture of stick humpies, very primitive, none of the violence, none of the variety or the culture. Only a happy story about how English people came and sorted things out, really. Another says, when I was at school in the 90s, I wish there was more teachings on Indigenous craft and storytelling. We never had any Indigenous people visit. What a missed opportunity. Well, it is NAIDOC week. If you're looking for a place to start your education of yourself, or if you work in education, ABC Education has teamed up with the NAIDOC Committee and Culture. Culture is Life to develop the 2026 NAIDOC Week education resources. You can find them online. You can just search for ABC Education. Or if you just want a podcast to listen to, my personal favourites are Word Up and Little Yarns to help get your head around the beautiful languages of Australia. Or pop up some links on the Life Matters website.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.